It's great to see all of you here on our campus. I want to welcome everybody joining us online. I hope you had a good Christmas holiday. I hope you were able to rest a little bit. We had a good time away as a family, but I've been looking forward to this day, looking forward to being back with my church family. So it's good to be with y'all. Lots of stuff happening in the month of January, as Pastor Nick just talked about. Let me make sure you know of something that starts in February. On Sunday, February 1st, a little fired up about this, y'all. We're going to move from two worship services to three worship services. Can we celebrate that for a second? So 8 a.m., 9:30 a.m., 11:15 a.m. We'll have a lot more to say about these as we get closer to that date, but I want to make sure we're all on the same page. So January 9 and 11, and then Sunday, February 1st, praying that God allows us to reach a lot of new people in the new year, and opening up some space by adding a third service will certainly help us be able to do that. Before today, we are kicking off a brand new series, and our title for today is that the time is now to move from here to there. We're going to spend some time unpacking this principle today because I really believe that this principle is behind what our culture refers to as New Year's resolutions. And I'm not a big fan of New Year's resolutions, but I do believe there's something to the idea of turning the page, a new year, new opportunity, and all of us probably have an area of our life where we would like to see some progress. We would like to see some movement. We would like to move from here to there. And by the time we're done today, I hope you're encouraged to see some principles from God's word that will help us do just that. But before we get to that, just some foundational thoughts. I didn't put these in your notes, but I think it's kind of helpful to kind of get us off and running. See, I believe that each of us has areas in our lives where we long to move forward. I don't think everybody has it all together in every area of their life. In fact, if you do, find me after the service and you're preaching the rest of January. I'm gonna tell you that right now, okay? I mean, if we're honest, some areas of our life, doing pretty well. Others, not so well. Some areas of our life, we feel like we kind of know what we need to do. Other areas of our life, we're kind of clueless, not exactly sure where we should even start. When we begin to recognize that our life is made up of multiple areas and they're all kind of moving at different directions at different times, I think we can all just take a deep breath and recognize that's what it means to live this thing called life. But in acknowledging that, yes, there are some areas we would like to move forward in when it comes to our life. So the second thing then that goes with this is I believe most of us genuinely believe that God has the power to move us forward. Now, I'm going to work off of that assumption for the rest of our time together because you chose to come to church the first Sunday of the year. So on some level, I believe that you believe God can do something about your situation. In fact, that's good news for all of us to stop and recognize today, that God enters into our lives. He meets us where we are at. We know that. We believe that. We believe God can help us. In fact, many of us believe what God's word teaches is that he can do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. So if we've got areas of our life that we would like to move forward, we would like to move from here to there, we genuinely believe that God can actually help us do that, then why, kind of third observation for us to make, do we stay stuck? I believe that happens, that many of us remain stuck, believing in movement, but never really experiencing it. And I think that's where the disconnect occurs. And just to be real for a moment, I think that's where there's a little bit of a struggle to recognize why our faith matters to our everyday lives. And we just came out of Christmas season, celebrate Jesus coming to earth. Absolutely. We'll get towards Easter in the spring. We celebrate the death of Jesus on the cross for our sins, followed by the resurrection. But at the end of the day, if there's areas of our lives we're trying to move forward in and God can really help us and we're not experiencing that, then at some point our faith starts to break down. Or worse, we believe that we're actually just doing it wrong and everybody else has got it figured out. And churches sometimes can reinforce that. It can seem like there's the super Christians that have figured it out and then there's the rest of us. We're not exactly sure what to do. So what I want to do today is see if we can figure out how to close that gap, because I actually believe there's a really powerful principle that maybe we can begin to see why, for some of us, we haven't experienced that progress, that movement like we're looking for. So it's our big idea for today. Let me ask you to jot that down, and then we'll get to our application. So our big idea is this. Moving from here to there means we are comfortable becoming more dependent on others. And none of us are comfortable becoming more dependent on others. None of us are comfortable admitting that we need help. In fact, our society makes a really big deal about doing things on your own, being a self-made man or a self-made woman. Self-reliance is a really big principle. And sadly, that principle has worked its way into the church when it comes to our spiritual growth. In fact, some of us believe that spiritual maturity is equated with independence. That the more spiritually mature you become, the less you need other people in your life. That's not what God's word teaches at all. Nowhere in God's word are we taught that spiritual maturity leads to isolation, leads to us being alone. In fact, a helpful way to look at spiritual maturity is recognizing there are some areas of my life that I will need to be more dependent on others than other areas. And then there are some areas of my life where other people may begin to become dependent on me. This is actually an area of my life that's a strength. It's an area of my life where I've learned some things that I can now help others and I can return, learn in return. I can begin to serve others through what I've experienced. But neither of those, whether we're depending on others or where others are depending on us, involve this idea of independence. And so we're going to talk today practically about what does that mean? How do we move from here to there by becoming more dependent upon others? So if you're taking notes, four principles. I hope these are practical. I hope these are helpful for you today. First of all, we just kind of mentioned it in the big idea, but I really want us to focus on it for one of our applications. We've got to acknowledge my need for God and others. So here's the question. What happens when your quiet time isn't enough? What happens when talking to God about what's going on in your life one-on-one isn't enough? See, for a lot of us, we've actually been taught that that is enough, that we come to church and we spend time with God alone, and if we just do those things enough, over time, we'll experience breakthrough and spiritual growth. And I do believe it's important to be together, like we're together right now, and I do believe it's important for you to spend time alone with God. But if those are the only two ways you're connecting with God, you're missing out on a key component of what it actually means to grow in our faith and to move from here to there. And that key component is actually other people, becoming more dependent upon other people. And oftentimes, we don't see that as part of our spiritual growth. Let me give you an example from someone I think all of us would respect and admire, Billy Graham. The great evangelist. In fact, I believe other than the Apostle Paul, Billy Graham is the person God has used most to spread the good news of the gospel in 2,000 years of church history. And Billy Graham obviously lived an incredible life. He preached all over the world. But what a lot of people don't know is early on in his ministry, he experienced a crisis of faith. So in the late 40s, he and his wife Ruth had just been married for a few years. He was finishing up his formal education, and a lot of the, not a lot of, but several of his close friends that he had gone through seminary with were actually beginning to walk away from the faith, or they were beginning to question the authority of God's word. There were a lot of intellectual arguments that were being put out there, and this really created a crisis of faith for Billy Graham as to whether or not he could fully trust that the Bible was in fact God's word. And it was in the middle of this crisis of faith that a Sunday school teacher in Southern California that most people have never heard of, named Henrietta Mears, a lady who was several decades older than Billy and Ruth Graham, invited them out to Southern California. She had built a rather large college ministry at her local church. She was a really good Bible teacher. Billy Graham had been doing crusades for college students. She thought it'd be a good idea to invite him out to teach her students. And while Billy Graham and his wife Ruth were there with Henrietta Mears, they shared with her this crisis of faith that he was experiencing. And she was the first person who genuinely listened. You ever had somebody not listen to you when you try to experience a crisis with them? You ever had somebody tell you that you just need to pray more, have more faith? That doesn't really help anyone at all. Can you imagine being Billy Graham and having a crisis of faith? And she listened and she encouraged him. And she helped him once more discover how he could find his security and his certainty in God's word. And Billy Graham said many years later that Henrietta Mears had the greatest impact on his life more so than anyone else. It's interesting, she was also part of the team of people who invited him to then preach in the crusade, the Tent Crusade in Los Angeles in 1949 that actually launched then his public ministry. And church, I think it's helpful for us to recognize if a giant of the faith, if Billy Graham needed another sister in Christ to help him grow in his faith, I think it's okay for us to say we need someone else too. There's going to be times in our lives that we're going to need someone else to help us grow. And I don't want us to see that as any other way other than normal, that that's actually how God designed it. It's important then for us to acknowledge it, right? Look at what God's word has to say about this, because it's a really helpful reminder that this is one of the reasons why he gave us the church. From the book of Romans, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And so as God's family, as we belong to one another, we can help each other move from here to there. All right, let me give you a second principle. We want to move from here to there in any area of our life. Beware of pseudo-healthy connections. I just love saying that word, pseudo. This is a fun word. In fact, let's just all say it together. Join me, shall you? Pseudo. It's just a fun word. Say, what does that word even mean? Not sure, I just like it. No, I'm kidding. I know what it means, right? It's not as strong as fake. So if I say be aware of fake connections with other people, we all kind of understand what that means. But pseudo connections, pseudo healthy connections, they're not as easy to identify. And what I want you to do as we're kind of talking about this point is think about the friendships and the relationships with the people that you have in your life. There might actually be some pseudo-healthy connections. What does that mean? It seems healthy, but you kind of get beneath the surface and you realize it's not very healthy at all. Let me tell you how you can notice what a pseudo-healthy connection is. And if you genuinely commit to move forward from here to there in a particular area of your life, this year, you'll find out very quickly if there are some pseudo-healthy connections in your life. Here's how you'll find out. See, oftentimes in our lives when we say, I'm here, but I want to go there. Like, I am tired of being here. In fact, sometimes it's actually disgust that leads us to that conclusion. Disgust is a really healthy emotion to feel sometimes. Like, I've had it. I'm going to move from here to there. Maybe it's with your finances. You look in your checking account and you don't like the number. And you're tired of it. You're tired of, like, when you get paid, it's like the money just passes through your account on its way to somebody else, right? You're tired of that, okay? Maybe it's the beginning of the year. We all just came through Thanksgiving and Christmas, and you get on the scale, and you don't like the number that's staring back at you. That's why I'm wearing a baggy hoodie today, y'all. I get it, all right? I don't like the number staring back at me, all right? Maybe you're in your marriage right now. And it's not that your marriage is terrible. You're just not where you want it to be. Could be with your kids. Could be with your career. Maybe you're a student. Could be with your grades. But at some point, it's a good thing to get to a place to go, I've had it. And I'm going to move from here to there. This year is going to be different for me. Let me tell you what will happen the moment you make that decision. You start to move from here to there. Somebody else will go, no. I'm going to drag you back to here. See, if you decide to move from here to there, the people who are here, it's going to make them feel a little convicted that they're not wanting to go there with you. And it's much easier for them to reach out and pull you back than to join you. In fact, if you begin to separate yourself from the pack will pull you back in every single time. Let me tell you what that is. That's a pseudo-healthy connection. You know what a real friend will do? A real friend will cheer you on. A real friend will encourage you. A real friend will be that voice to actually pick you up when you're starting to feel down. But there will be people in your life that will try to hold you back, try to pull you back. Not everybody's going where you're going. You do know that, right? Not everybody has the same things going for them that you have going for you. And when you start to move forward, they may start to pull back. Now, if you recognize that, that doesn't mean that you're mean. That doesn't mean that you cut them out of your life. That doesn't mean that they're no longer your friend. But you might have to recognize this person actually isn't helping me move towards where I want to go. And sometimes that means maybe you limit the time, you limit the access, you start working on some ways to move forward in other areas. And so there's a verse that is helpful here, because this principle is not as easy to spot, because again, there's not like they're damaging you quickly. It's just happening slowly over time. But God's word says, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And that type of company will do that to you over time. So come back to your senses as you ought. Stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. It's a slow drift. I don't think that for God's people, the enemy's strategy for most of you is to surround you with terrible people who are going to tempt you to do terrible things. I think the enemy will just surround you with people who will make you complacent, who will keep you from moving forward, who will keep you from experiencing all that God has for you. And you'll keep living with that angst of wanting to get to where you deep down inside know God wants you to be. And might I for a moment suggest the people in your life could be what's holding you back. So you stop, you kind of recognize that, you have a little bit of an awareness. And then the third thing kind of ties to the second point, but it's a different way of looking at it. We then honestly assess, well, where do I need help? So if I'm gonna acknowledge, yes, I need other people in my life. The second thing, I'm gonna kind of take an inventory, who's currently in my life? Are they helping me move forward? Are they helping me get from here to there in a particular area of my life? And then the third thing is I gotta be real about where I am currently at. We're not good about giving an honest assessment. Do you know what we do? We all do this. We all measure ourselves by our intentions. I meant to get up and run this morning, I just didn't, okay? And somehow in our mind, that works. It's like we get a check for that. So no, you slept in, you don't get a check for that, okay? You gotta give an honest assessment. You know what's really helpful about data is it's just numbers. Like, they're honest. Like, if you go get a physical and they walk back in with that sheet of paper and they give you those numbers and you don't like those numbers, I'm sorry that you don't like the numbers, but you can't get mad at the doctor. They're your numbers, all right? And it's like that with everything. Get the physical. Look at the checking account. What's the GPA? What was your assessment in your career this past year? Did you get like good marks on your annual review? It's helpful sometimes to just be honest about where am I at and where do I need to go? You can't go where you need to go until you know where you're starting from. That's all I'm trying to say. So just honestly assess, how am I doing? Is there an area of your life where you keep telling yourself you're gonna do something, but the track record shows you're not doing it? That's all I'm talking about. And this is gonna happen from time to time in our lives. So let's talk about marriage for a second, because Morgan, marriage is on my mind. My wife Morgan and I, she was in our last service. We celebrated 23 years of marriage yesterday. Pretty fired up about that, so yes. Thank you. It hasn't always been easy, but that's what marriage is. And so we're celebrating. We're going out to dinner tonight. It's gonna be awesome. So excited to do that. And we did this a lot in the first decade of our marriage. We haven't done it recently. Maybe we'll do it tonight. Not sure. We'll see how it goes, right? But it's something that's helpful. It's something that when other men have come to me and said, hey, you know, any advice about what I could do with my marriage, I've often said, why don't you try this and see how it goes? It goes well about 50% of the time, if I can be honest with you, okay? So let me tell you what some of you are like, what's about to happen, all right? So I can feel it in the room, okay? It's not that big of a deal. We just go to dinner and I sit down with Morgan after we order. It helps that you're at a nice restaurant when you have this conversation. And I look at her. And I say, all right, baby. And it also helps if you say that. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest, how would you rate me as a husband? And then she gives a number. And then I don't get to defend myself. Like, I don't get to ask her to explain why it's such a low number. Like, I don't get to ask that, right? I don't get to try to like stand up for myself, all of those things. Like, she gives the number, and then here's the follow-up question, and this is where it's super helpful. I look at her and I say, okay, in your mind or from your perspective, what would I need to do to move from that number to a 10? I'm telling y'all, some of the greatest breakthroughs in our marriage have come from these simple conversations. Early when early in raising the boys, when they were little, some of the things she would tell me, I would have never thought of. I didn't recognize that that was where she actually really needed me to be helpful. She told me, and I immediately started working on those things. Now, our boys are older now, so a lot of times these answers are very dependent to the season of life that you're in. But there's a couple of insights to this little exercise, and I think it's helpful on both sides of the equation. First of all, wives, just for a moment, deep down inside, your husband genuinely wants to help you and love you well. He does, okay? And you need to believe that about him. But here's the truth. He oftentimes doesn't know exactly what it is that you're looking for, and you think that makes him unromantic. Because in your mind, if he really knew you and really understood you, he'd figure all this out on your own. And I'm here to tell you, he won't, okay? And here's why. You married a dude, okay? God created us differently, okay? We are concrete individuals. We wanna serve you and love you well. And if you'll tell us what that looks like. We'll give our heart and everything we have to it. But if you just sit back and get frustrated with us and we're not gonna figure it out on our own, you're just gonna keep being frustrated. Gentlemen, here's the thing. You don't get to defend yourself. You don't get to then say, well, here's all the stuff that you're not giving me credit for. That's not how this works. If your wife says, this is what would make me feel loved well, then you do it. What is that? It's an honest assessment. It's just an honest assessment. Let me give you another example. Even if you don't like sports, I think this will be a fun one. So Michael Jordan, I think anybody with any sense would agree, he's the best basketball player of all time, all right? So, I mean, you wanna come at me with your LeBron argument, get ready, all right? So I'm ready for that argument. But Michael Jordan, whether you agree with that or not, in 1988, had one of the most remarkable seasons a basketball player has ever had. He basically won every award you could win in a regular season, okay? He was the regular season MVP. He was also the defensive player of the year. He led the league in scoring. He led the league in steals. He was the all-star MVP, and he won the slam dunk contest. He won every award you could win in a regular season, and he still got knocked out by the Pistons in the playoffs. And this was what his career looked like in the late 80s, winning all of these awards, losing the playoffs every year to the Pistons. And so the Bulls hired Phil Jackson, a new coach, and Phil Jackson sat down with Michael Jordan and met with him, and he asked him a pretty simple question. He said, do you want to keep being the best basketball player in the world, or do you want to win championships? And Michael Jordan had to give an honest assessment of how his career had gone so far, which was about 8 or 9 years up until this point, of putting up really good statistics but not winning a championship. And he said, I want to win championships. And Phil Jackson said, well, that's going to require you doing things differently. We're going to install a different offense. You're going to have to rely on your teammates. You're going to have to become more dependent on their skill set. You're not the only one out here who actually knows how to play basketball. And to Michael Jordan's credit, he listened, he adjusted, he adapted, he became more dependent on his teammates, and he won 6 championships. Now, what's interesting about Phil Jackson is he turned right around and did it again with Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal, who playing with the Lakers could not win a championship until what? They brought in Phil Jackson. He sat him down, deja vu all over again, had the same conversation. And he said, here's what you're gonna need to do. Become more dependent on one another and your teammates. They did. They won 3 championships in a row. You see, even if you're great at something, oftentimes an assessment will help you recognize what you actually need is another person. That God oftentimes connects people before they fulfill their purpose. Some of you are wondering why you're not experiencing what it feels like to fulfill the purposes God's created you for. Might I suggest it's because you're not yet connected with the right people. That all of our destinies are tied to the relationships that we build along the way. And when you look in God's word, it's how he does it every single time. I mean, David needed Jonathan. I mean, Paul needed Barnabas. Timothy then later needed Paul. I mean, even Jesus had the 12 disciples with him in community for the 3 years of public ministry. When we pull back and when we give an assessment of how things are really going, don't be surprised if the solution that God points you towards is actually another person. Galatians chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 gives us this warning. If anyone thinks they're something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Each should test their own actions. And so don't deceive yourselves. If you recognize through your assessment that you need someone to help you along the way, that's actually God's way of how he designed things to move us from here to there. And then finally, our fourth application is we then have to choose wisely the source of these healthy connections. So if you take an assessment of the people in your life, you recognize they're not exactly helping me get where I want to go. You take an assessment of progress, where you're doing well, where you're not doing well. You recognize you have some needs. Well, now it becomes really important who you choose to listen to, who you choose to get connected to. And obviously, we're going to talk about the church here in just a moment. But I want to talk about, you know, just quickly, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but we always talk about social media and we talk about our phones and, you know, we shouldn't be on our phones as much as we're on our phone. Everybody's going to be on your phone. I mean, I think that's just kind of the world that we live in. And there are certainly things that you can do that can waste your time. But I also think it's good in the new year to recognize there's a lot of value. There's a lot of things that can actually be super helpful. And I don't think we need to make technology the enemy. In fact, I learned a long time ago, whatever we ignore, the enemy will use. So let's not ignore it, okay? But instead of scrolling through your phone and being entertained by silly videos, there are actually some people out there that put super helpful content. for whatever area of your life you're looking to move from here to there. So in the new year, like, leverage social media to help you make progress. Don't let it just be something that wastes your time. But then obviously, inside a church, God is providing you with people. The church is unlike anything else in the world. There's literally nothing else like it. I mean, there is no reason for the people in this room to be in this room together except for Jesus Christ. Remarkable. And he's brought us all together, and he's given us all access to one another. Now, practically speaking, how do you then go about doing that? Well, life groups is one of the main ways, and it's already been mentioned today, but we're starting signups for our life group semester. Now, the groups don't start for a few more weeks. They last for 10 to 12 weeks, and that's really important because a lot of times when someone's, maybe you've never been in a life group before, and you're like, it's called a life group. Does that mean I'm in it for life? That's not what that means, okay? You're not stuck with these people till Jesus returns. That's 10 weeks, 12 weeks, and that's it. But if you'll get into a life group, I'm going to tell you three things that I can promise you will happen, okay? Three things I promise you will happen. The first thing that I can promise you will happen, you will learn more about the Bible. People ask me all the time, how can I learn more about the Bible? One of the best ways to learn more about the Bible is get into a life group. Even if the life group isn't going through a book of the Bible, whatever topic they're studying is based on biblical principles. You're going to learn more about the Bible. The second thing that's going to happen is you're going to grow in your faith. You're going to grow in your faith. Now, it may not be how you're expecting to grow. You may sign up for a life group hoping that you're going to grow in one area, and you may find in the midst of the experience that God shows you other areas that you need to grow in. And that's okay. That's perfectly normal. So you're going to learn more about the Bible. You're going to grow in your faith. And then the third thing is you're going to get connected with people who can actually help you move from here to there. I tell you, that's how this works. That's how this works. So there's all different types of options. You can scroll through, you can see all of them, you can find the one that fits your schedule. We're actually starting some new groups this semester that will actually be sermon-based groups. So what does that mean? Well, you don't have to study an additional topic or study to show up and discuss at the group. You'll just show up at the group and discuss the sermon that you've heard from the previous Sunday, that the leader will be prepared with some study questions. You'll get those ahead of time. You'll kind of know how to be prepared. So there's lots of different options for you to get signed up for. But when you get into a group, here's what's pretty remarkable. You now have access, not just to the people in the group, but to all of the relationships of the people in the group. Y'all know, this is how things work. Let's not overcomplicate it. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a life group and someone has said, hey, does anybody know of a good loan officer? I need to refinance my house. Does anybody know of a good real estate agent? I don't like my kid's pediatrician. Does anybody know of a good tax advisor? Does anybody know about this? And before long, somebody else in the group is mentioning something. Someone else in the group mentioned something. And like, you wonder, how do certain people always have these great connections with all of these different people in all of these different areas? It's because they're connected to the right people. And when you get connected to the right people, here's what you can begin to realize. God can use multiple people in your life to mentor you in multiple areas of your life. Some of you are looking for a mentor to guide you in life, and it's a little bit like looking for a unicorn, okay? It's really hard to find one person who's an expert in every area of life. But you get into a life group, you may find someone who's been married for 20, 30, 40 years. They can speak into your marriage. You may find someone who's raising a toddler and you just found out you're pregnant. And all of a sudden they can start telling you what baby monitor to buy and which one not to buy. Okay, they can tell you those kind of things, all right? You may find someone else who works in the financial industry. You may find someone who's on a career path that you're hoping to get down one day. You begin to recognize that the way God does this is he connects us with multiple people who are further along than we are in different areas. And those are the people, church, that will move us from here to there. In fact, here's where it gets really fun. Those are the people who will find great joy in helping us move from here to there. Great joy. I mean, it's remarkable for me. Some of y'all know this, some of you may not. Maybe you're new to New Hope. So Pastor Nick and I, we worked together 20 years ago at the same church when we were both serving in student ministry. And we should probably have been fired a half a dozen times. I don't know, right? I mean, they were patient with us. They were kind with us. They helped develop us. And if I can be honest with y'all, 20 years ago, I think you would agree with this. 20 years ago, there were men in our life that we were back here and they were up there and they saw more in us than we saw in ourselves. And you know what they did? They pulled us along. They encouraged us. So you know what great joy it gives myself and Pastor Nick when we invite some of them to come preach here at New Hope. And it's remarkable. that they can see like, wow, look, we saw this back then. Look what God is doing. And I got to be honest with you, if they hadn't seen it back then, I'm not so sure I would be here today. If you can find people who take great joy in helping you move from here to there, here's the word for that, normal. Anybody that you look at who is where you want to be, they got help along the way. They got help along the way. And you are not going to get where God wants you to go if you keep trying to do it yourself. But the moment you recognize that, the enemy will step in and try to get you connected with the wrong people who will lead you off course. You get connected with God's people and you see where they can move you. You say, I can't get into a life group this semester. I got too many things going on in my schedule. I understand that. That's why we make such a big deal about serving here on Sundays. We don't make a big deal about serving on Sundays because we need more people to serve on Sundays. We have a lot of great people who serve on Sundays. They do an amazing job. We make a great deal about serving on Sundays because we want you to get connected to the people that God can use in your life. These serving tours are already mentioned. Maybe you want to get signed up for one of those over the next several Sundays. It will happen during the service. So while we're in here worshiping, you'll be able to get a tour around campus and see all of the different things that are happening on a Sunday. You may find that you want to serve on the guest services team, as a greeter, on the cafe team. Maybe you want to serve in our kids ministry. Now, some of you, you don't need to be anywhere near our kids ministry. It's called a background check, all right? So we'll make sure we get that covered, okay? But if you pass all of that, like, and we'll train you the right way, then you'll get connected with the right people. We have teams that serve in our community throughout the week. So if you can't get in a life group, you find a way to get connected to people here on Sundays. And over time, the relationships will begin to reveal themselves. It will help you move from here to there. Next Sunday when you show up, our whole lobby is going to look a little different. If it's nice weather, we'll probably have some outside as well, but we're going to have a Missions Connect opportunity where there's going to be different booths set up with our ministry partners here locally, some of our strategic focuses on university campuses that we're looking to do in the new year, our partnership in the DR, we're going to have the dates for those trips in 2026. Next week as well. So for the entire month of January, here's what I need you to hear me saying. We're going to keep challenging you to be connected with the people that God has in front of you right now to help you find a way that you can begin to serve and use the gifts that God's given you. Because when we get to February, y'all, I believe that God is going to bring a whole new wave of people into our church who desperately need to meet Jesus. And I want us to be ready. And for some of you, if I can just lovingly say this, you've been on the sideline for too long. You've just kind of been showing up. And that's great. And I love that you're here. But you're the one that's missing out. Like if you'll begin to take these steps that I'm talking about today, I'm telling you, God will show you the people in your life to let 2026 be a year like no other for you where you can move from here to there. And this is actually how God set it up. Let's wrap up our time today by looking at this verse from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him, Jesus, who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Look at this phrase, grows and builds itself up in love. So the people of God, the church, we actually grow to build one another up in love. Remarkable. How does that happen? Well, it happens as each part does its work, as each of us step into the calling that God has placed on our lives. And so might it be that this year, the way that you move from here to there, quite simply, is through the person, the people that God has brought into your life. Will you join me as we pray together? And so God, we thank you for that reality. God, we thank you that you've given us one another. God, we thank you that we don't have to do this on our own. But God, for many of us, we just need to get to a point of complete honesty and acknowledgement that we're not really moving forward the way that we would like to in whatever area of our life it may be. And this whole idea of self-reliance or being independent or doing it alone, God, maybe as we enter into this time of worship, we could just repent of that. God, we could just lay that spirit at your feet, once again declaring our dependency on you and on your people. God, my prayer is that as we step into this new year, as you connect us, not just with your heart, but as you connect our hearts together, that you would use us in a way where you would bring about a revival. God, where people who don't even, they're not even aware of their need for you right now, but you're already stirring in their hearts. You're already moving in their lives. You're already orchestrating circumstances, leading them on a path where eventually they're gonna walk through the doors of New Hope Church and meet a risen Savior. God, we thank you for that. God, may you use us in their lives to make that happen. So God, now as we enter into this time of worship, we ask that you would hear from your children. We ask that you would speak to us as well. Fill this place with your presence. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.